and welcome to episode 14 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
14, Craig?
Can you believe it?
Wow.
Can you believe it? 14 episodes. How are you feeling? How are you?
Well, now that you've said 14, a little bit tired. But apart from that, okay.
Are you back into the routine of teaching after your Christmas break? Do you feel like you're back into the, as we say, the swing of it? Are you back into the routine?
Yep, I'm back into the swing of it. It's always 5 minutes you think, oh, teaching, oh yeah, tricky. Then you think, oh no, actually, it's not too bad.
I think it's the thought of going into class that can be a bit, it can bother me a bit. Once I'm in there, once I've got the students hopefully laughing and enjoying the lesson, it's fine. A piece of cake, as they say. It's a piece of cake. Water off a duck's back. Anyway, we have some feedback, some news this week. We have a question, first of all, from Silvio. I can't remember where I think the question came in by email. And Silvio's question is this. After verbs like love, start, stop, he says the following verbs have to go with a gerund, I think. This is Silvio. However, I have read it started to rain. Why not it's started raining? So Silvio sounds a little confused with these ing gerund infinitive verbs. Can you help him?
Yes, I think so. I can help him a little bit, but I'm afraid experience and time is the only solution to this question.
It's complicated, isn't it? It's a complicated area of grammar.
Well, in a way you could say it's complicated. In another way you could say it's just memory. It's just memory. You either remember that, oh yes, that verb goes with infinitive, oh, or that one goes with gerund, more or less, or that one goes with both. There isn't much logic to it, Silvio. But you asked specifically, it started to rain or it started raining? The answer is yes, they're both right.
Yeah.
In the case of start, there's no difference in meaning. If I say it started to rain or I say it started raining, the meaning is exactly the same. There's no difference. However, Silvio, I'm afraid that's more the exception. It's not so common. Usually, there is a difference between infinitive or ing after a verb. For example, you said start, now the opposite, stop. Stop plus ing, stop plus infinitive, they both exist but with different meanings. Mm-hmm. If I say to you, I stopped smoking a long time ago. I stopped smoking.
You stopped the activity of smoking.
I stopped the activity of smoking and I terminated it. I stopped smoking. I terminated.
You gave up.
I ended it. I gave it up. But what about this, Silvio? I was walking down the road, but I stopped to pick up a coin I found in the street.
So you interrupted the activity of walking to do another thing.
Exactly. Interrupt one action to do another. That's stop plus infinitive. So let me just repeat that then. Stop plus ing, gerund, is terminate, end. But stop plus infinitive with two, I stopped to pick up the coin, is interrupt one action to do another.
I could use the example, Reza and Craig stopped podcasting to have a cup of tea.
That's right. That's right.
We stopped doing one thing, the podcasting, to do another thing, the drinking of the tea.
Exactly.
Which isn't a bad idea now I mention it.
Yes, we must do that soon. So stop plus ing and stop plus infinitive are not the same. However, start plus ing and start infinitive are the same. What about make, an important verb, to make someone do something? Mm-hmm. So that's make plus a person, make someone, make John, make you, make him, make the teacher, plus an infinitive, but without to. For example, my teacher made me do my homework again because the first time was very bad. My teacher made me do my homework again. Make plus a person, me, plus infinitive without to, made me do.
Reza made me sing the Mickey Mouse song.
Well, I asked you to sing it, but you didn't give me the whole version. Are you going to give me the full version?
Not this episode. I'm practicing.
Yeah, I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to make you do it.
We have to have some way to keep people listening, to keep people downloading these podcasts.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, don't you worry about that. Later in the show, I've got a way to get people to keep listening. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, as they say. That means we won't think about it yet, but we will soon. Another verb, which is very important and very common, is let. It's related to make, but it's not the same. If you make someone do something, infinitive without to, you force them. But if you let someone do something, that means you give them permission or you don't stop them. For example, Craig lets me say many silly things in his podcast. He's very tolerant.
It's your podcast. It's your podcast. I keep telling you.
Well, it was your idea. It's your baby. It's your baby, as we say. Craig lets me do silly things. He lets me say silly things, sorry, in his podcast.
You could say, let me ask a question.
Yes.
Allow me to ask a question.
Allow me to ask. Very good. So
infinitive with to.
Exactly. The meaning is the same.
Hmm.
Let me ask. But allow me to ask. One is infinitive without to, that's let. But allow is infinitive with to. Why, readers? Why? I've no idea. I warned you there wasn't much logic. Another one is permit. Craig permits me to say silly things. Lets me say silly things. He permits me to say silly things. He allows me to say silly things. They all mean the same, but let is followed by infinitive without to. But allow or permit are infinitive with to.
So just to go back a second, Reza, to compare let and make, which I think is a mistake that some Spanish speakers make. Let would be dar permiso, allow me to do something.
Dar permiso, dejar as well.
Dejarme.
And make is hacer.
Or forzar.
Forzar o hacer.
It's much stronger, isn't it?
Obligar, yeah.
Obligar, okay.
Forzar.
Could you speak a little about love and like, which is also in Silvio's question? Verbs like love and like.
Love or and hate. Like. Okay. Yes, he asked about love. Love can be followed by infinitive or a gerund.
I love drinking coffee.
And I love to drink coffee.
Is there a difference?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. You could read that there was a very, very subtle, that means a very tiny difference in the meaning of the intention. But I think in modern English that has been lost. So love and like, followed by infinitive or gerund, you can consider them to be the same meaning,
mm-hmm.
More or less. Well, the only difference is love is stronger than like.
Of course.
But they're both followed by either ing or infinitive without any difference. However, here's an important one. The words remember and the opposite forget can be followed by infinitive with one meaning and gerund for another meaning. For example, I had to go home quickly because I forgot to close the door.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want a burglar to get in and steal everything. I had to go home quickly because I forgot to close the door. So forget plus infinitive means difficult to explain it succinctly, but I'll try and keep it as short as I can. Forget plus infinitive is to think about something, forget, or it could be remember, before it happens. So I forgot, I didn't think in this case. Remember means you did think about it, but forget means I didn't think about it. I forgot to close the door. I didn't think to close the door.
Mm-hmm.
If I said to you, I forgot giving John the money, and I said to John, oh, here's your money, and he said, but you already gave me the money yesterday. I forgot giving John the money. That means yesterday I gave John the money, but now I have no memory of that thing which has already happened, me giving John the money.
Of course, I forgot doing something. Yeah,
yes.
I forgot giving him the money. I forgot uploading something to the computer. Yeah.
Yeah. You've already done it, but now you don't have a memory of you doing it.
Of the activity.
That's forget plus an ing. And it's the same with remember. I remember turning off the gas before I left my flat. Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it, and yes, I have a memory in my mind of the action of me turning off the glass. Gas. It happened, and now I'm thinking about it.
Do you remember growing up in Belfast?
Oh, yes, of course.
I remember growing up in London.
Yeah. Growing up, it's ING, because, listeners, it was a long time ago that that happened.
Very long time ago.
The action of growing up happened a long time before the action of thinking about it, remembering it. That's why it's ING.
But if I say to you, remember to phone me tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
that's future.
Yeah, you're asking me to think about the action before it happens. Remember to phone me tomorrow. So you want me to first think and then phone. So the remembering comes first and then the phoning.
Remember to buy milk on your way home from work.
Yeah. So first think, then buy.
Okay. That's
but great. If you said to me, do you remember phoning me last week? Mm-hmm. I could say to you, Craig, I don't remember phoning you last week because at the time I had drunk too much whiskey.
Too many pints.
So now I don't remember phoning you, but you say, oh, you phoned me. Okay, it happened. But I don't remember doing it. I have no memory now of the phoning which happened before. So that's the difference between remember and forget plus ing or infinitive. So there are just a few example listeners. There are many, many, many verbs in English which are followed by infinitive or gerund, sometimes with a different meaning, sometimes a similar meaning. Sometimes it's infinitive with to, like allow me to speak. Or sometimes it's infinitive without to. Let me speak. There are many, many.
I think we should come back to this topic in a future episode and speak a bit more about gerunds and infinitives.
Yes. We must remember to look at it again.
We shouldn't forget to review this in future episodes. Mm-hmm. Moving on. We have another question just before our pronunciation spot. And it's from Miguelito Gonzalez, which I'm thinking is probably Miguelito Gonzalez. A Facebook question. And Miguelito says, hello, I have a question. When should I use the word awesome? Well, good question. Thank you, Miguelito. Would you agree, Razor, that awesome is more of an Americanism, more of a North American English word?
In its informal slang use, yes.
Do you use awesome?
Occasionally, but I don't use it in the same way that it's used in American slang. I would say that, for example, the Roman Empire was an awesome force, mm-hmm. for example. That's not the modern use of the word awesome. I'm not saying like, oh, really cool.
A tsunami is an awesome power of nature.
Right. Yeah. It is extremely powerful. That's the original meaning of awesome.
But Americans use it so often, don't they? Everything in America is awesome. Yeah. This podcast is awesome. That car is awesome. Yeah. That song is awesome.
Yeah.
I hear it so often.
Yeah, it just means cool, great, fantastic, but not necessarily powerful.
Mm. And I think one problem is it's overused. So the effect of the word is not as powerful as maybe it should be.
Exactly. You know,
if everything's awesome, then everything's pretty much the same.
It's like the word cool. Who doesn't know the word cool? Most Spanish speakers have heard the word cool. But the original meaning of cool means a little bit cold. That's what it means. It still means that today. But if I say to you, he's a cool guy, or hey, your boots are really cool, I don't mean they're a little bit cold, do I, listeners? I mean, I really like the style of them. I'm impressed, Hola, son wise.
So, Miguelito, you can use awesome whenever you like. It's an adjective and it means wonderful, fantastic, incredible, amazing. Especially in American English. Moving on to pronunciation, and I'd like to look at the sound J, because one of my students had a problem with this just yesterday. We were looking at the English word for juez, which, Reza, is...
Judge.
So, three sounds, and the first and last sound is the same. It's J. The same sound that you would find in words like June, July, January, jazz, and judge, juez, has the vowel sound A, as in up, judge. So practice that at home. Listen to me, judge, and repeat the word judge. That's the pronunciation tip. Yes.
Jolly is another one, isn't it?
Jolly. Jolly good. Jolly good word. Jolly good. Oh, jolly good. Well done. Moving on to phrasal verb, to our phrasal verb this episode. Do you have one for us?
Yes. Take off.
Take off.
Take off. For example, Craig, you went to Laos recently, yes?
That's correct.
When you were going there, what time did your plane take off?
Oh, it took off about 12 o'clock midday.
It took off.
Despegar.
Despegar. When the plane leaves the ground to go up, that's to take off.
But that's not a literal meaning, is it? That's an idiomatic meaning.
That's an idiomatic meaning, yeah. The literal meaning would be to remove something from a place or area. For example, imagine I was going to serve you dinner,
mm-hmm.
but you had books on the table. I would say, take your books off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Remove them. Change the position of those books. Take them up in your hand and put them in a different place. Take them off the table.
An interesting point is that with the last example, you could put the object in the middle. Take the book off the table. But yeah. Not with the idiomatic despegar. You can't say, take the plane off.
No.
You have to say the plane takes off.
Yep.
So it can't be separated with that meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's a good point. That's a perfectly good point. Another meaning of take off means to make a funny version of something.
Mm-hmm.
For example, some comedians, some comics on TV, they're very good at taking off someone's accent.
Do you watch the Intermedio sometimes?
I do, yes.
They take off politicians, they take off popular, that's right. Popular personalities on the Intermedio. It's very funny.
Take off. What would that be in Spanish? Que take off de...
Personar.
Sí, hacen...
Hacen risa.
Hacen el ridículo.
Ridículo.
Ridiculizar.
Yes.
Yeah. Ridiculizar. To make fun of someone by copying him. That's to take off. And
You're really good at taking off accents. You're good at taking off famous people.
You think so?
Yep.
But yo creo tengo que trabajar más mi acento argentino, ¿no? Un poco flojo, ¿no? yo qué sé. Es que como no me dan dulce de leche, no puedo hacerlo. Dulce de leche, ¿quién me da dulce de leche, por favor? Craig.
Is that a person from Andalusia?
I'm not sure who it is.
Are there any other meanings of take off?
There are a few. I'm going to give you just one more because I've got a bit crazy today, Craig. I think it's the dulce de leche. But Craig, do you mind if I just
Reza? What are you taking off?
Oh, sorry, Craig. I couldn't resist it. I just had to take off my trousers there.
He's taking off his clothes.
Yes, I took off my trousers. Remove clothes from your body. Take off clothes.
Quitar la ropa.
Mm-hmm. Shall I put them on again?
Oh, please do.
Okay.
Please do.
Right.
You're putting me off my
I'm
my
putting
lunch.
You off. Right.
There's one more I've just thought of. Do you think this podcast has taken off?
Uh-huh, of course it has. How many hits have we had recently, Craig?
We've been getting about 2,000, 2,200, more or less, hits per episode, which is very pleasing and very encouraging. So you may be happy to know we're going to continue making episodes for you. So if something takes off, it becomes successful. A business can take off. A television show, a television program can take off. And this podcast has really taken off. Nuestro podcast ha tenido mucho éxito.
Craig, do you think we'll get even more hits now that I've taken off my trousers?
Probably not. In fact, we'll probably get an explicit label from iTunes for our podcast.
Could this become the first ever over 18s podcast for English learners?
Well, they do say you've got the perfect face for podcasting.
but it's lucky the viewers can only see my face on Mansión Inglés.
They can't see anything. Okay, moving on to our vocabulary corner. And I'd like to speak a little about films and movies. So let's start with the difference between a film and a movie. Tell us.
Same thing, isn't it?
No.
Only one's American, one's British.
Ah, that's it. Yeah. That's what I'm after. Which one's American?
Movie.
Movie. Movie's the American word, and film is the British English word. So you go to see a film in the UK, and you go to see a movie in the United States.
And there's another word, isn't there, which they use in certain circumstances when they're being technical. I wasn't thinking about that, but yeah, colloquial, the flicks, go to the flicks, go to the movies. Yeah.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking of, like, in Hollywood, in some ceremonies, they don't say best film, they say best motion picture.
Motion picture, that's right.
Means it's film.
And motion picture. Yeah. A big Hollywood producer with a cigar could talk about his latest picture. Yeah, it's true. Dubbed and subtitled. What's the difference?
Well, I know which I prefer, always subtitled.
Me too. You can't have Jack Nicholson or Al Pacino speaking in Spanish. That's dubbed. When the Spanish voice is on the top of an English actor's voice, then for me it spoils the experience. I wouldn't like to listen to Spanish actors speaking English. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine that?
No.
In fact, Javier Bardem speaking in a British London accent would be terrible.
Wouldn't work, would it?
No.
I heard something really ridiculous on the radio not long ago. Do you remember the actor died there a month or so ago? Peter O'Toole.
That's right.
Peter O'Toole died. And he was very famous all over the world, including in Spain. And so on a radio program, they were paying tribute to him. And they said, let's listen to this great clip from his film. But it was the Spanish dub version. And to me, it was ridiculous. They're remembering the life of this great actor by listening to the voice of another person dubbed. It makes no sense
makes
to me.
Makes no sense. So dubbed, doblado, and subtitled, subtitulado. What about the difference between review and critic, which I think is a false friend?
Yeah. Review is a piece of writing, or it's the verb to write that piece of writing. Mm. And a critic is the person who writes it.
Absolutely. So the problem is with the Spanish word crítica, which is not a critic. It's the actual review that the critic writes. So the critic is the person and the review is the thing he or she writes. A movie review, film review, play, review of a play, a book review, etc. Plot. Now, this is interesting. I was looking on the internet before because I've always been confused about the difference between screenplay and script, because both are guion. And I always told my students that the screenplay is more detailed. It has direction for the actors, where they stand, where they look. But checking on the internet before, it's not quite true. Do you know the difference?
I just thought really that a screenplay was like a script but written specifically for a film or TV program.
Actually, a screenplay is a script. There's no difference. Script is more generic, it's more general. And screenplay is more specific to a film or a movie.
I didn't know. Yep. I didn't know that. I thought they were slightly different. And what about a teleplay? What's that?
A teleplay is a script for the television.
Ah.
Which is a word, okay, I didn't know. So screenplay will be for movies and films, for the big screen. And teleplay would be a script for television. Well, I think we're running out of time, Reza. We have to move on and finish this episode so we can save our top tip for next episode. So thank you so much for listening. Remember, send us an email or send us a sound file, mensaje de voz en MP3, if you have a comment, a question or a suggestion. And send your comments to mencionteachers@yahoo.es. That's mencionteachers@yahoo.es. Or you could get in touch with Reza at belfastreza@gmail.com. belfastreza@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Reza. And remember to visit iTunes and give us some stars and a critica.
Bye bye.
Bye for now.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a BYNC license at ccmixter.org.